So we just have a couple of things that I wanted to just mention about the series. Last week we examined the first topic in our Refresh series, which was what? What was the first topic? You remembered. Today we're going to be examining Reflect, and so we're going to be moving through these topics. But before we jump in and get into the study, I want to just kind of get us situated, maybe if you guys weren't before. Many of you have picked up a journal. They're pretty much all gone now. And I want to explain the journal a little bit more. The journal is designed to help you record your personal journey through the series. And so if you have the journal, you see our topic. You see the topic. So today we are in Reflect. And so this is where you take your notes, Reflect, for your notes on Sunday. And then after, we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And it's designed for you to take the journal and to write down in your devotional time, in your study time, what we talked about on Sunday, and for you to carry that through the week. Our desire is at the end of this series that you would experience refreshment in your walk with the Lord through the different topics that we're covering today. And so in the back of the journal is a list of all of the topics we're covering. If you go to our website, calvarysg.com/refresh, later on in the teaching, there's going to be a QR code because the feedback you guys have given me is I go fast when I teach, and my slides, you guys are like, wait, okay, all right, relax, take it easy, people. Okay, and so what I've done is I made this page on our website called Refresh, and so anything, notes and slides that we get, we're going to upload there so you guys can reference back to, and you guys don't have to feel like we're rushing through, especially since I'm giving you guys homework. You guys can reference back to it, okay? And so you can go to that page on our website and you guys can look at the slides for the teaching for Reflect, okay? So again, we just want to explain the journal a little bit more so that you guys can get the most out of it. If you guys don't have a journal and you guys missed out on the journal, it doesn't have to be our journal. Just don't omit yourself from this process just because you don't have the Refresh journal. Go to Walmart, get a journal, get some paper from home. Don't miss out on the process simply just you don't have a journal. Grab one from home, grab one from the bookstore. Don't miss out on what God wants to do in and through your life by going through the process. And so, you guys good? All right. So we will get into our study, but before we dive in, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for today, and God, just allowing us the opportunity to study your word and to look at, Lord, your character in and through the word. And Lord, as we progress through these different topics throughout this series, I pray that you would do a work in and through our lives. Lord, I pray that we would walk away, not just from this teaching, but from this entire series, refreshed. Let our spirits would be refreshed. Lord, our walks with you, Lord, would be renewed. Lord, that we can look at our walks with you, Lord, and not be ashamed of where we are at, but Lord, we can look at it honestly and rejoice, Lord, that you have saved us. Rejoice, Lord, that you have made a way, Lord, for us to be freed of the sin in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak, Lord, in into our hearts, Lord, right now. God, we invite you into this time of our study. We invite you into this time in the word. And God, I just ask that you would speak, Lord, to people's hearts today. And so, Lord, just ask that you would go before us, prepare us, Lord, as we study, Lord, on how we should reflect on your goodness, Lord. So we love you, God, and we pray this in your son's name. Amen. All right, so we'll dive in into our study. Now, as we're talking about reflect, and last week was remember, this can sound like remember. Reflect, remember. Sometimes people can interchangeably use these words, but I want to encourage you to listen to last week's message on what Pastor Ryan was talking about, remember. But when we move we move to this idea of reflect, which means we're going deeper. And so really a definition of what reflect is we're going beyond remembering and we begin to take inventory of our lives in accordance with the goodness of God. Again, what if we have like want to frame our mind of what reflect is we begin to take inventory of our lives in accordance with the goodness of God. In other words, we look more deeply at God's goodness in our lives. We look at the blessings that have been bestowed upon us. But when maybe we are struggling and can't see those things today, therefore, I am submitting to you to insert this process to remember and then to reflect. If you're struggling today to even recall or remember the blessings of the Lord, that's what this process is designed to do. Let's remember who God is. Let's remember what God has done in our lives. Let's remember the gospel. And now let's reflect upon those blessings in our lives. And so I do, though, want to mention that reflect, as we're talking about this teaching, you can take reflect and take it literally, which we're going to be talking about the goodness of God as we reflect, but you can take reflect literally. More specifically, as we see it in 2 Corinthians 3:18, you don't have to turn there. If you do, you want to write down the verse. But 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this in the New King James. It says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." The NLT translation kind of points it a little bit more directly to what we're trying to talk about today in Reflect. And the NLT version of 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image." Do you guys see the word reflect in this verse? The literal translation of the approach to the word reflect is that we reflect the glory of God. We see the idea of reflection that Paul is making to the church of Corinth, that we can reflect God's glory. Simply put, the guaranteed way that we can be reflections of God's glory is by spending time with God. The guaranteed way that we can be reflections of God's glory is by spending time with God. If you want to be a reflection of God's glory, there are no shortcuts to getting there. You can't just put in, like, I used to play video games and, you guys ever play Sims? No? You put in the cheat code. I had all the cheat codes to get all the money, so I didn't have to like go through the whole game process and build. I just like building. I didn't like living out their lives on the video game. I just wanted to build houses. And I put in the cheat code to like get all the resources so that I can build the house. You can't approach or walk with the Lord by putting in a cheat code and just being like, "Okay, I'm there, God. I'm reflecting your glory. I've done all the work." You want to reflect the glory of the Lord. If you want to reflect and be like, have the image of Christ reflect from you, you have to put in the work. There are no shortcuts to getting there. What does putting in the work mean? Reading. Praying, serving, being obedient to what God has laid out for us in Scripture. You want to reflect God's glory, you got to put in the work. And so the idea of reflecting God's glory goes way back to the time of Moses. The story can be found in Exodus 33, chapter 33, verses 11 to 23. And while today we can't fully unpack what that is, I encourage you to go back on Wednesday night. We've been going through the book of Exodus, and we are nearing the end of Exodus. We've been in that book for quite some time. But if you want, you guys can go back and to look for Exodus chapter 33 and go on your own time and unpack what this story is saying. But we can quickly understand that Paul is clearly echoing this famous narrative and using it to express the idea of having an intimate encounter with God. Quickly, Moses went up to the mountain and he met with God and he had the Shekinah glory. He was with God and his face was just lit up because he was reflecting the glory of God. And so we see that Paul is echoing that to the church at Corinth. So what Paul is saying then to the Christians in Corinth, just like Moses, is that our encounter with God comes without a go-between, a mediator. Yes, Jesus is he is our mediator. He prays on behalf of us, but we don't have anyone else. The veil has been torn. We can approach God directly. We have direct access now with God. There's no one else that we have to go through in order to meet with God. And Moses had that experience. Just how Moses spoke to Yahweh face to face, seeing his full glory, we too can see Jesus face to face, just like a reflection from a mirror. And since it is a mirror, the reflection is the exact representation of one being reflected. Therefore, Paul was summoning the Christians in Corinth to be transformed into the image, which is exactly what Paul said in the next part of the verse, transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And what is the Bible reflecting in our lives? When we read, when we study, when we ponder, and we spend time in the Word of God, this should be transforming us. And when the Word is transforming us, what should be reflected should be the image of Christ. Because as we study and we read and we understand what's being said here, we are allowing God to transform us. And then we reflect back to the Word, to Jesus, his image. So we can take reflect in a literal sense. So as we reflect on God's goodness, we can see that he desires a close relationship in our lives so that we can be transformed into the image of Christ from glory to glory, or simply put, made more into the image of Christ. And so we're going to dive into reflect. You guys are like, I thought we were in reflect. I was giving you guys the literal approach to the word reflect. Now we're going to be going into this other aspect, which this, I feel like what we just talked about sets us up to kind of explore this next aspect of reflect. So reflecting specifically on God's goodness is such an important exercise, which is to think deeply about what God has done in our lives. And maybe you were here today, and this may be a challenge for you. It's a challenge for you to think upon the goodness of God in your life right now. Maybe you're struggling to see the goodness that God has for us, to see the blessings that God has provided to us. Some of you are here today, and I don't mean to like put damper the mood, but we need to address what's happening. Some of us are here today struggling to count our blessings. Some of us are here unable to see the blessings in our lives because of the weight of life, the pressure of life, the pressure of being a parent, the pressure of in marriage, the pressure at work. There's just so much that's weighing us down that it's hard to see the good in our life. Some of us are here dealing with a form of grief. Maybe there's been loss in your life. There's been probably about 5 or 6 memorial services that we've had here at the church in the last couple of months. Church, there's people here that are hurting. There's people here who can't see the blessings of life or blessings from God because we're stuck in our grief. Maybe there's been a loss of a pet, a loss of a job, a loss of a relationship. There's a loss in your life in some regard. and you can't see above the water right now, and you feel like you're drowning. Some of us are dealing with financial stress in this inflationary economy. Or maybe there's unexpected curveballs of costs that you weren't planning or anticipating. Maybe the bills are stacking up and you're like, what goodness of God? What are you talking about? The blessings. I see my paycheck come in and then it leaves the next day. What blessing is that? It's called being an adult. Or maybe some of us are stuck in a loop of destruction and we can't see our way out. We're stuck in sin, in addiction, in relationships that we shouldn't be in. We keep going back to our sin and we can't get out of that loop. You can't even see the blessing that God has provided to you, the gift of salvation that is for you, the gift to redeem us, because we're stuck in this cycle. I was there. Pastor Matt mentioned an announcement of the recovery ministry. There's help. We want to extend to you. But despite wherever you're at, despite whatever situations, problems, issues, concerns, the weight, whatever it is that you have come in today with, I want to tell you something. But God. But God are moments that signify a pivotal change brought about by divine intervention. Divine intervention meaning the Lord intervenes. They reveal God's ultimate authority and transformative power in seemingly hopeless situations. But God moments signify a pivotal change brought about divine intervention. Raise your hand if you've ever had a but God moment in your life. That you're just looking at your life and you're like, there is literally no way for this to be resolved. I have no ability to change this. But God came, he intervened, and he showed his power. He showed who he is. And he came, and he showed you that he cares. And he does want to take you out of whatever that situation is. And so we can look at the bills. We can look at the stress. We can look at the issues that we have in our families, in our workplaces, with each other. And we can drown ourselves in those things. But God has a better way for us. But how do we get there? How can we shift or put ourselves in a position to moving from this defeated position to this position of victory? How do we make this switch? How do we allow God to speak into our lives and so that we can experience that but God moment? How do we get there? And as we're reflecting on God's character. It's not anything that this church does. It's not coming to this church and saying, you're going to fix my issues. We just point you to where the solution comes from, which is the Lord. But it's not just being pointed to him, but it's knowing who he is, knowing his character. If you do not know the character of God, if you don't know the attributes of who Jesus is, how can you ever look to him for help? Our kids, they look to us because they know we are their protector. They don't know better, but they know, Mom, Dad, I don't know, this feels weird, I'm coming to you. Mom, Dad, ow, this hurts, I'm coming to you. And we care for them. And the reason they come back is because, well, God, well, my dad and my mom has demonstrated that they care for me when I get hurt. And so they come. Our children come to us in times of need. But why do children go to their parents? And it's because they know who mom and dad are. When you are stuck in a problem, do you know who God is? Because if you knew who he was, you'd run to him. But you cannot know who God is unless you reflect upon God's character. How do we learn the character of God? the Word of God. I said already, there are no shortcuts to having an intimate relationship with Him. Just because your wife is coming to church doesn't mean that you are close to God. Just because you come to church and your children are being dragged along doesn't mean they have a close relationship with God. We all put in our own work, and no one else can do it on behalf of us. So today's point, our main idea for today, is reflecting on God's goodness refreshes our soul. Reflecting on God's goodness refreshes our soul. We're going to be in Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is the verse, or is our series verse, Psalm 23:3. So I'll give you guys can turn there. We're going to read. But if we're looking at our main idea today of reflecting on God's goodness refreshes our soul, we need to define God's goodness. And so I've provided a definition of God's goodness, which means all of God's perfect qualities, attributes, characteristics, are made freely available to all for the benefit of the whole world. God's goodness are all of God's perfect qualities are made freely available to all for the benefit of the whole world. So that's kind of to help you set up and understand the goodness of God. And as we're going to be diving into this, the series is based again on Psalm 23:3, but we're going to read the whole chapter, the whole six verses we're going to read. And I'm going to highlight some things after, some points of emphasis. So Psalm 23, we'll start in verse 1, and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." The series we use, "He refreshes my soul." In the NIV, it says, "He refreshes my soul." "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Verse 6 is our focal point for today, and that says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So some points of emphasis, if you look back at Psalm 23, in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." Verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores or refreshes my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness." In verse 4, "You are with me." So in Psalm 23, we are shown that we are being led by our good shepherd, our shepherd, my shepherd. We see here that we are being led. But who is behind us? In verse 6, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." So there's this picture of Jesus in front of us. Who's behind Jesus? Us. Okay, I'm not trying to trick you. You guys are like, it can't be that obvious. It is. So Jesus is in front of us, and then we are behind Jesus. And then in verse 6, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." And so the image that I get, and I also, Spurgeon puts it this way, that it's as if two guardian angels are behind us, goodness and mercy following. And it's just, it kind of reminds me, since I've married my wife, she has introduced me to timepieces, like basically movies and shows that are based on like medieval and kind of like, you know, back when there was kingdoms and stuff like that. And just like medieval times and kingdoms and war, when the king or the prince, when they go out, when they left the kingdom, they didn't leave without protection. They had people leading them, and then they had people behind them. And that is true for us as believers, that we are covered by God. That when we go out, the Lord is leading us and we're following him. But behind us is goodness and mercy that follow. And so the areas that we get stuck in is difficult maybe sometimes for us to see a way forward. But don't forget, goodness and mercy follow us. Now, before we explore God's goodness any further, we need to stop and smell the roses. We need to take inventory. It's become a staff saying as of late, and a saying that my pastor in Vegas had with me, because he knew I can get stuck in a cycle of go, 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 not celebrating the win. Just being like, okay, we moved on. We did this, accomplished it, off of our checklist. I move on to the next thing. That's very much my personality, where I'm just like, I'm so many steps ahead that for me, I want to get to that next step. And once I accomplish what was before me, it's like, okay, I moved on. Move on. And a lot of times, it's for some people, it can become draining, because I see the goodness. I see what God did. I'm like, yeah, this was great in my mind. But what I say, but we need to fix this. We need to improve this. This we could have done better. And for people who are like, dang, like, I mean, like, did anything go good? Well, yeah, I did actually, but I think it could be better if we fix this, this, and this. I don't know. It's the way I'm wired. And it's also how my pastor in Vegas is wired. And that's why we had to keep telling each other, stop, smell the roses, slow down, appreciate the moment, take it in. We just had an amazing series that we ended. What was the fruit of it? Take it in. We just had this amazing outreach. Oh, let's move on. No, take it in. Take inventory of what good happened at this outreach. We just went on a mission trip, and God used us, and we come back. Usually when we come back from mission trips, we feel like we were blessed more than what we did there. Take in and celebrate those wins in your life. And so I'm giving you some suggestions, some things that God has provided to us as blessings. Maybe you're here and you're like, I can't think of one right now. What about the breath in our lungs? You're breathing. Maybe some of you guys are struggling breathing, but you're breathing nonetheless. Be grateful for the little function you got. A more simple one. You woke up today. Like, we take it for granted until moments of loss, until we're at memorial services, then we're confronted with the reality of our mortality, that one day we're going to die. One day we will die. And we live our lives as if we're living in the future and missing the present. I'm not telling you guys this because I've mastered it. I'm telling you this because I suck at this. I live and die by my calendar, that I'm like, but what about right now? So I'm trying to practice slowing down. I went up to Pine Valley this week. And that was rough. I tried slowing down. It was really busy. Lots of people fishing, a lot of people everywhere. So I didn't feel alone. But I tried to slow down. I tried to just take in. And man, was my mind racing. I was thinking about everything else but being alone with God. And it's hard, but we have to try to slow down. What are other things we can contemplate or remember and be grateful for, blessings of? Maybe the ministries that you have. And you're like, I just said that, and you're like, I don't have ministries. I don't serve at church. I don't know what you're talking about. You do have ministries. If you're married, your spouse is your ministry. So often we want to be responsible of so much more or have our hands in other things, but we neglect our first ministry, which is our spouse. Not your kids, your spouse. Your spouse comes before your kids. Because once the kids leave, you don't want to be, I mean, okay, I'm saying all of this, and I'm like, you're like, hold on. You got little kids. But I've heard this enough from multiple marriage studies, from multiple people who are married. Don't neglect your ministry of your spouse, because once the kids leave, you're going to look at each other and be like, who are you? We've been so consumed with the kids that I don't even know who you are. I'm not in that place of experience, but it's been passed on to me by multiple people. And so I'm sharing that free advice I've been given to you. Your kids are a ministry. You are parents. How are you leading your children? It's not the school systems, private school, homeschool. It's however you want to educate your kids. It's not their responsibility to raise up and train up the child in the ways of the Lord. Whose responsibility is that? Boop. Again, not a trick question. You, us as parents, we as a church on Sunday school, we provide a support, but we're not, we should not be the church. When they come on Sunday school, this should not be their only exposure to the Word of God or to who Jesus is. It is not the responsibility of the church to raise and train up your kids in the ways of the Lord. We come alongside you. That is your ministry. You're like, I don't have a ministry. You have a big one. A busy one, a messy one, your kids. Maybe you're single here. What's your ministry and you're single? Your workplace. Your witness at your work is a ministry. You don't maybe preach the gospel there. Maybe you don't talk about who God is, but your character and your conduct should. There should be something different that they're like, why are you different? How come you don't talk like the way everyone else talks? How come you're always there to help me in my times of need? I'm just sharing that I'm going through this, and you offer to pray for me. Prayer, don't sleep on prayer. So I'm going to let you guys go pray and sleep in prayer. But what I mean is prayer opens so many doors just simply by asking, can I pray for you? It disarms a person. They're like, okay, maybe I could come to you. School is your ministry. If you're a student, the students you're around, the teachers you're around, the clubs, the things that you're involved in, that's a ministry. Those are people that only you have access to, that I don't have access to, Pastor Jerry doesn't have access to, we don't have access to maybe the people you have access to. That is your ministry. What has God provided you with to steward? And now this next one is one we all have. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, it talks about the ministry of reconciliation. Simply put, it's a ministry that God has called all of us to be his witnesses, to be his ambassadors out in the world, to partake in sowing seeds, which is the gospel, and watering seeds. But it's God's place to make the increase. But we are called essentially to evangelism, to share the good news, to bring those who are lost and reconcile them back to the Lord. We are to be a part of that process. We all have been called to the ministry of reconciliation. How have you stewarded that ministry? Our health. Maybe you're like, man, you don't know my health. My health sucks. I have medicine upon medicine, but you're alive. In the last few years, have been, I don't know, there's no diagnosis. I just have really bad allergies, like terrible allergies. Allergies can take me out for a week if it's bad. And I never had to deal with this, getting old. Like, just your body starts shutting down on you. But I have inhalers that I have to take to prevent myself from having an episode. And so the days that I'm having a good day, I take them for granted sometimes. And then when I have an episode, I'm like, man, I just wish it was one of those days that I was breathing freely today. You have health today. Thank God for it. Appreciate it. Because something's going to happen. Our bodies are falling apart. Maybe you're like, okay, let's get practical. You have a roof over your head. That's a blessing. And maybe where we can get caught up is we're trying to keep up with the Joneses. Well, our neighbors are like, well, their house looks nice. Their yard looks nice. I like the way that they did the remodel outside. Or maybe my house isn't big enough. I want a bigger home. The square footage of my house is not enough. But you have a home. Be grateful for what God has given you. Don't worry about how other people are living. Be grateful for what God has given you. Or maybe there's food in your fridge. The fact that there's food in your fridge, the fact that you have a home and food in your fridge, in comparison to the entire world, you're wealthy. But it's not enough sometimes. But most importantly, the thing that we should be thankful for is the gift of salvation that has been provided to us. You guys have been plucked out of your sin. I've been plucked out of my sin and given this new life. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going to be in the house of the Lord forever. Don't get stuck and caught up with the issues of this world, because this isn't home. Jesus is preparing our home. It's going to look way better than this. We're going to have roads paved with gold. Look at this carpet. I mean, we're lucky we got carpet, you know? Sorry. But we're going to do something uncomfortable. I want to make you uncomfortable today. I want you to take a minute to make your own list of things, blessings in your life, things you're grateful for. We're literally going to do this right now. Take a minute and jot down those things that are blessings in your life. Because if I don't make you do it now, you ain't going to do it after Black Bear Diner. So take a minute and jot down a list of things that are blessings to you, that God has provided for you. I'm going to give you a minute. Go. Few more moments. Raise your hand if this is a little bit difficult. It's okay. This is difficult because we're not used to doing this. We're not used to pausing, to slowing down, to considering. I mean, I literally left town to do this, and I still couldn't do it. I was like, this is so hard. And so continue to make that list. This list, I want you, I'm going to tie in this list later on, but this list is for you to take and use in your journal. Okay? But we're going to dive into the goodness of God. We're going to dive into how God demonstrates his goodness. But again, like I told you already, that I've made these slides available. There's a QR code up on the screen. If you scan that, it'll take you to the page on our website that has all of the upcoming teachings. And as we progress through the series, we'll be populating slides as we get them. So this next part that I'm going to go through, it's a lot of ground I'm going to cover, a lot of verses. But I don't want you to get caught up in writing it all down. I mean, write it down if you can, but again, I made it available. Go through the QR code. If the QR code isn't working, just go to calvarysg.com/refresh, and it'll bring up the page, and you'll see reflect slides, and you can download it, and you can have the slides for your notes, and so you can take this on. Because there's six ways that God demonstrates his goodness to us. Six things. And so each topic that I give you is for you to contemplate a different day of the week. So we'll start with the first one. God demonstrates his goodness in his actions. And so on Monday, you're going to reflect upon God's goodness in his actions, and these are the verses I'm giving to you to reflect upon, to read, to study, to consider for yourself so that you have something for the rest of the week. And so I'm going to just read this summation of basically of what these verses together are saying. And so God provides guidance, sustenance, and necessities to his people, showing mercy and forgiveness despite our shortcomings. His goodness is evident in his favor towards the faithful, prompting a desire to learn his teachings. God's guidance through his Spirit reflects his goodness in leading his people, while Jesus' ministry of healing and serving manifests his goodness. Through Jesus' ministry, we see the goodness of God through Jesus' healing, miracles, and through the way Jesus served others. Additionally, his kindness, patience, and long-suffering are meant to lead people to repentance, showing his goodness. And so these verses together are going to hopefully illustrate to you how God demonstrates his goodness in his actions. Now we move on to Tuesday. God demonstrates his goodness in his work of creation. So on Tuesday, consider that. His work of creation. God's creation is inherently good and meant to be appreciated with gratitude. His creation of light was declared good, reflecting his goodness in an act of creation. God observed all his creations and deemed them very good, demonstrating his goodness throughout creation. Furthermore, his goodness extends to all his creation, showing compassion and care for everything he has made. And so we see the goodness. God demonstrates his goodness in his creation of work, or his work of creation. And then Wednesday, we move on how God demonstrates his goodness in his love. And these verses, one thing to highlight, 1 Chronicles 16:34 and Psalm 106:1 are parallel verses to each other. It literally says the same thing. So God demonstrates his goodness in his love. God's goodness is shown through his abundant love and readiness to forgive those who seek him. His eternal love and enduring goodness gives us reasons for gratitude. His goodness is evident in his forgiving love and guidance for sinners, as well as his willingness to show mercy and respond to his people's pleas. Furthermore, God's goodness is intertwined with his enduring love and faithfulness across generations. And so as you study these verses, you will see how God demonstrates his goodness in his love. And then we move on to Thursday, that God demonstrates his goodness in his gifts. God's goodness is shown in the perfect gifts he bestows, reflecting his unchanging nature. The abundance and richness of the promised land are gifts from God, the land of milk and honey, demonstrating his goodness through that. His provision of a rich and bountiful land for his people exemplifies God's goodness in his gifts. His goodness is evident in the good things he gives, prompting rejoicing and gratitude. The gifts that God gives us should prompt a rejoicing heart in us. Furthermore, the spiritual gifts and redemption through Christ underscore the supreme goodness of God's gifts. And then we go to Friday. God demonstrates his goodness in his promises. What to note here, 2 Samuel 7:28 and 1 Chronicles 17:26, again, those two are parallel verses to each other. So if you see it, you're like, wait a minute, I already read this. Just giving you two different places that say the exact same thing. And so in his promises, God's faithfulness in keeping all his promises demonstrates his unwavering goodness. Someone who keeps their promise. How many of us have experienced people in our lives that broke promises? God is not one of those. His trustworthy nature and the good things he promises reflect his inherent goodness. The fulfillment of his promises to Israel showcases his reliability and goodness. While his promise to restore his people after exile highlights his steadfast goodness and faithfulness to his word. And then for Saturday, God demonstrates his goodness in his commands. God's commands are perfect and reliable, giving us wisdom and refreshing our souls. They are good and protect us. His commands protect us, helping us avoid shame. His commands are holy and right, showing us his perfect nature. Even when we struggle with sin, recognizing the goodness of his laws show how morally they are superior than our ways. God's commands help us understand his good and perfect will, leading us to grow and transform spiritually. And so as you go through this journey, these six different demonstrations of God's goodness, my desire, my encouragement, my hope for you is that you would consider these six demonstrations in your life. Consider the list that you've made or the list you need to make. And overlay that list to the six demonstrations. Where do those things in your life lay in these six demonstrations of his goodness. Maybe you make a list and all of them land in one area. My challenge to you is to think, what are things in my life that fall into all of these six demonstrations of God's goodness in my life? If you want to go through this process of reflecting, go through this exercise. Look at your list. Look at the six demonstrations, and how does that overlay in your life? I want to ask the worship team to come up. If you are here today and maybe you're struggling, maybe you're going through a lot right now, and that's okay. It is okay that you're going through stuff. We all are. But how do you get past that? How do you have that "but God" moment? It's you reflect on the character of God. And that's what we've laid out, these six demonstrations of truly his character. And so if you want to experience refreshment in your walk, if you want to experience this moment in your life where you feel like finally I'm able to break free from the weight of this world, from the weight of my issues, of the weight of what's going on in my family, of the weight of what's going on in my life, if you want to experience that release, if you would, you got to go back to the Word. You got to go back to reading and understanding the character of God. And so, as to circle back, our main idea is reflecting on God's goodness refreshes our soul. If you want to, as we progress through the series, and if you want to see yourself at the end of this series refreshed, you got to go back. My encouragement is for you to go back and consider God's character and his goodness that he has demonstrated in your life. And maybe it's difficult right now to pinpoint that, but I've given you the pieces for you now to do the work this upcoming week, for you to unpack this yourself, and to, at the end of it, my prayer is that you can rejoice at what God has bestowed upon you and me. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for today. God, I thank you, Lord, for God, your goodness, God, the gift of the Word. We get to see who you are more closely. We get to see, Lord, your goodness in our lives. And Lord, I pray as we now are going to move forward from today and desire to unpack how you have demonstrated your goodness toward us, Lord, I pray that we could look back and see and say, God, you're good. And so, Lord, I pray that you would minister to those who are here. Meet the needs, Lord. Lord, we don't know exactly what's going on. I don't know exactly what's going on in people's lives, but you do. So I pray that you would meet those needs. I pray, Lord, that you would bring refreshment upon our church. And so, Lord, I'm grateful for you and pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.